1 Corinthians. This may be found in the New Testament section of your Bible on page 218. Chapter 12, starting at verse 14. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you." And the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with great modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. This is the word of God.
Now, my dear friends, will you open your Bibles? We're coming to the end of Corinthians chapter 12 this morning. And then next year we'll pick it up again for you. But do open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll take you through from verse 14, which Elaine read to us, to the end of the chapter. So wonderful section of the scriptures this, that I hope will be a source of great encouragement and blessing to you as you wind your way home today. Now just for a minute, what have we seen in chapter 12? Just to refresh your memories. The first thing that we had a look at was that every person who comes to Christ is gifted. That's the first thing. So you are gifted. God has given you at least one gift. Every true believer is gifted. The second thing that we had a look at as we've been through this passage together is that every one of us has been baptized with the Holy Spirit. So this is not an experience for one or two select people or one or two spiritual people. No, it's not like that. It's a gift for every believer. So the Holy Spirit has come to live in you. And what happens from that is slowly your whole nature begins to change and you become more and more like Christ and you're able to serve the Lord Jesus. Now what you're going to see this morning is the outflow of that. And we've entitled our sermon this morning, One Body, But Many Members. And the main theme that's going to develop today is a very easy one. You've heard lots of sermons on it, I'm sure, over the years. And that is that when you become a Christian, we become members of a family. So the Bible often refers to the church as the body of Christ. We are the body. We are a body of believers. But there's only one body, but many members. So even here for us at Christchurch, we've only got one body, but there are many of us. And we are all gifted. And I'm going to show you today the very wonderful part that you can play in this great ministry. All right, let's work through it together. And I hope it's of help to you to this morning. There are four major things that I'm going to ask you to think on today and take home with you as you wind your way home. Number one, see from verse 14 to verse 18, the apostle speaks about the diversity of our members. You see, there's a diversity. Listen to it one more time. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? Or if the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. Let me explain that to you. It's so encouraging. First thing that you notice is that the body performs many different functions. Sorry to be a bit simplistic there, friends, but the best illustration is you look at your body. How many hundreds of tasks can your body do? So there your hands can do certain things. Your ears are there to listen. Your eyes are there to see. Your tongue is there to speak with. Your legs are there to help you to walk with. And all the different functions are there. Each one has been put there by God. So the body performs many different functions. And what the Bible is saying is this. Because of that, it's very important that the ear does not turn around and say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not important. You see, none of us can say when you go home today and you're enjoying your lunch, I'm not important. Or Christchurch doesn't need me. Can't do that. Rather, we need to see is that there are many, 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 many different functions. Now, brothers and sisters, I couldn't think of them all, but just look at an average day in the life of our fellowship. So if you look at this morning, we need somebody to open the doors. We need somebody to open the windows. We need somebody to play the music. We need someone to read the Bible. We need someone to pray. We need someone to teach the Bible. We need somebody to look after the children. We need somebody to lock up afterwards. We need somebody to count the money afterwards. We need somebody to come on Monday and to further count it and to bank it. We need somebody to monitor the screen. We need somebody to tape the services. That's just for this morning. It's wonderful. You see, there are many, many, many different functions. During the week, the grass was cut, the flower beds were sorted out, the accounts were paid, people of the streets of Pinetown were invited here on a Monday and a Thursday for our soup kitchen. We're having Christmas parties for the children in Claremont. We're buying a piece of land in Kitwe. We're planting a church in Lumbumbashi. We're looking after... All of these things are happening. Why? Not because there's one person, but because you've got a fantastic body with many parts Number two. The second thing that that passage tells me is that each function is important. See verse 15? Each function is important. My brothers and my sisters, if you're a member here of our church, you are important to us. Each function. So to read it one more time, the foot can't say, because I'm not the hand, I do not belong to the body. No, rather we need to see is that each function is important. Each ministry is important. Everything that has happened, we are all working together as a body. Thirdly, each function must be performed. You see verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? You see, if there was just one gift. But it's not like that. Each function must be performed so that our body can function properly. And the last thing, number four, is, listen to verse 18, but in fact God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. So who decides who gets the gifts? God. Who distributes the gifts? God. Who gives what? God. Who plans us all? God. We are nothing. We are just servants. It's the Lord Jesus' church. And so the Lord Jesus has granted different gifts to different people so that all of us can use those gifts. Friends, imagine if I had to do the flower arranging for you this morning. Yeah, you'd lock the whole service. Because I can't, I haven't a clue how to do that. Imagine if I had to play one of these musical instruments. You'd laugh again. You'd hell yourself. It's like, God, well, I married a woman who can play the piano. You see, that's how it works. God is a wonder. God, when he saves a man and saves a woman, he brings them into a body, brings them into the church, grants them gifts, so that we all work together, all laboring together, all serving the Lord Jesus together. No one is more important or less important than anybody else. There's the first lesson then. There is a diversity of members. Now let's move on to number two. The second thing we learn, look at verse 19 now to verse 21. If they were all one part, if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Well, don't need to add thing, that's fairly clear there. We can see how we do need you. We need each other. We really do. And it's not just something that we say. As we've gone through over this year, verse by verse to Corinthians, we're dealing with a lovely passage. Because this passage is showing us the beauty of belonging to a body. And there is mutual needs. We need each other. No one man does all the work. If I may say it, if you will just bear with me for a minute, people may say, well, what's my function? As your rector. Well, it's a very clear directive, and I'll read it to you. This is what God wants me to do for you. To prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature. So my great joy, unbelievable privilege, is to teach the Bible. Every week I have an opportunity to give 34 Bible talks every week of my life. During the week. That's quite a lot. Why? to prepare people. Why? To do works of service. Why? So that the body may be built up. So I want to encourage you, as we listen to the Bible, as we grow closer to Jesus, as we discover our gifts, and we all use those gifts, and we all work together, it's an exciting picture. It's a wonderful story. So, there's a diversity of members. We mutually need one another. What's number three? The third thing is, from verse 22 now, the importance of all our members. Listen to what verse 22 says. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. Now, that's also so encouraging. What do you notice there, friends? Well, the first thing is that importance is not based on appearance. Yeah, we've got to be careful that we don't come and say, well, that person or that one or this one is more important than anybody else because they appear to be so. They appear to be more charismatic or they appear to be more outgoing or they appear to have a more important gift. You see, what the passage is saying to us is that importance is not based on appearance. In fact, number two, importance is equally distributed. That the Lord Jesus distributes it equally among the family and among the body. Which means there can now be no division. There can be no division because no one can come and say, I'm more important than you or that you are less important than me. Those days have gone now. It's finished. It doesn't work like that anymore. There rather is a equal concern for one another. So, when you put that all together, verse 26 says, thirdly, where does the importance lie? Look at verse 26 now. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. So the importance now is the body. The importance is the body of Christ. The importance is our church. Not me. Not one person. The body. So all the time I'm saying, how can I best help my church? How can I best be involved for Jesus? How can I best use what Jesus has given me for others? How can I do that? When I was starting off the ministry, I'll never forget the lesson. Our minister said to me, you must go and visit. And he gave me a list of about 100 people. He said, that's your job for the holidays. And I slowly worked my way one by one. And I remember visiting a lady, for those of you who know Cape Town, at Rosebank Station. She was an elderly lady that couldn't get around. And she was bound to her flat all day long. And you may say, now what on earth could she do? I went into her, I knocked on the door, and there she came to the door. And I was about 20 years old, I'd just started. And she said, isn't that amazing, Warren? I've just been praying for you and your father. Now I think, well, who on earth am I to come into her presence? So she says, come in. And she took me to her very small little lounge. And you know what Mrs. Hasty had on the wall? Not some fantastic oil painting or some top artist or whatever else it was. On her wall of her lounge was a huge map of the world with lots and lots and lots and lots of names. And she would say to me, you know what I do every day? I said, what do you do, Mrs. Hasty? She says, you know what? I go through these one by one and I pray for them. Now, thanks. You see, nobody knows about this little lady tucked into a little house at the near Rosebank station. That's exactly what the verse is saying here. But what a fantastic ministry. What a marvelous thing she's doing in bringing workers all over. So the importance is, what can I do? You know, maybe you have, that sometimes people have said, man, I don't go to church anymore because I get nothing out of it. Do you hear people say that? I say, but that's very sad, because the Bible never teaches that. The Bible always teaches, what do you do? What do you give? It's not what I get. That's not the big thing. The big thing is, what can I give? How can I serve? How can I be part of this wonderful task of serving Christ, reaching to Pinetown, reaching to the ends of the world, building up one another? Diversity of members. That was number one. We mutually need each other. That was number two. The importance of all our members. That's number three. And then lastly, number four, look from verse 27 to the end, the sovereignty over the members. Look at verse 27 now. It says, now, here's the conclusion. You are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. See? So you're the body. You are part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, then prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, and also those who have the gift of healing, those able to help others, and those with the gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles. The answer to each of those, of course, is no. Do all have the gift of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? No, the answer is no. We're all different. That's the great thing. So what do you notice in that closing verse? See how it's stressed again? Number one, God chooses. God is sovereign in verse 27. It's the Lord who is in control. It is the Lord who is sovereign. So when somebody comes to us and says they've really understood the gospel and they give their lives to Christ, how is that possible? It's because God has been working in their hearts and in their lives. Number two, because God establishes the order. Notice, there is an order, first, second, and third. While we are equal, there are certain gifts that would have priority. For example, the gift of pastoring and teaching is a very important ministry to build up the body. But it comes from God. God establishes the order. God puts it in place. And thirdly, God has determined the numbers. Mustn't focus on numbers. That's all in the hands of God. So that little church where I was last Sunday in that heat, whew, polishing the water off, keeping cool, I would say in that little corrugated iron room where I had the service, 40 people max. But numbers is not the big thing. They love Jesus. They're just not privileged like we are to have electricity, to have toilets, to have microphones, to have carpets, to have a pulpit. They don't have anything like that. But what lovely people. What precious people. And then afterwards, there's a meal. They bring out the meal and you all have it together. You pray like crazy for grace that everything's going to be okay. In that heat. And you enjoy the meal and you toddle back. So privileged. So humbled by people who were so little give so much. Let me wrap it up for you. What have we seen this morning? We have seen that you and I didn't belong to the body of Christ. By nature, we are not Christians. But God in His infinite mercy has saved us. And what He did is He drafted you into a body. So you and I belong to a family. That's the picture that emerges at the end of chapter 12. May I ask you, my dear friends, this morning, has that happened to you? Have you become members of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ? But not only that, God has gifted you. And if I may ask you again, just to think through, are you using your gift? What are you doing for the Lord? Are you putting it into practice? Are you serving? Or perhaps, if I may say that to you, not doing much. We need you. You may need me. Because together, we're a body. Some of us are the hand, others are the ear, others are the eye. The only thing that I'm not sure what you need is the appendix. Mine was taken out some years ago. We don't want to be an appendix. We want to be someone that's using our gift for the kingdom. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this wonderful, wonderful passage. We want to say thank you that in your sheer grace and mercy, you have brought us out of darkness into the body. You've gifted us. You've granted us what we need in life. And oh, I pray my own life, in the lives of my dear friends, that each of us will have the great joy every day of serving Jesus, serving Christ Church, so that together with our different gifts and different talents and different personalities, oh God our Father, your work will expand and develop the ends of the earth. Perhaps, Lord, today one or two feeling I'm not important, I'm not needed. I pray that this passage will lift them up to see how critical every single person is. In Jesus' name, Amen.